The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Nooshogag District set netters can wet some nets tonight, drifters possibly tomorrow, and the east side districts are sitting tight till Monday. This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report for Saturday, June 18th. I'm Dave Benninger, glad to have you on board. After a decent push of fish up the Nooshogag and Wood Rivers today, Fishing Game's Tim Sands is the man with a plan.
It's supposed to be windy again this evening and tomorrow, so I decided that we needed to get some nets in front of the fish.
Sands joins to discuss the decision to open up fishing on what's forecast to be a stormy evening tonight. Some of you weigh in from the PAF boatyard on the early start. Plus, we reach BBRSDA's new president, Mike Fracero, by phone to talk about the association and his goals. And we have the latest on the weather.
Winds right now are out of the southeast, 25 to 35 miles per hour. And it looks like the winds will remain strong and gusty through much of the day tomorrow.
That's coming up, but first, the latest data from the fishery. Yesterday was pretty slow for catch. Bay-wide, the total was just 7,200 sockeye landed, bringing the cumulative to 70,000 this season in Bristol Bay. Total escapement, 37,000. Total now, 107,000. Total run so far in Bristol Bay, 177,000 sockeye, 46 million to go. By district, the catch in Igigik was 7,000 sockeye Friday. Total there now 52,200. Igigik River escapement was 8,000. Total 37,000. Ugashik had zero catch Friday. Total of 4,000 on the year. Zero escapement so far counted in that river. Naknek Kwejek catch just 200 Friday. Total 2,700. Naknek escapement was 1,500. Season total 2,700. Kwejek escapement 200, just 400 on the year. No openings are planned on the east side for the weekend. Nooshogag District season total catch 10,600 sockeye so far, all from the Agushik section set netters. Friday's Nooshogag River sockeye escapement was 10,500, season total 36,000. Nooshogag River Kings, pretty good push Friday, 17,000 past the sonar, total now also 36,000. And the Wood River Tower counted 17,000 reds Friday and another 5,200 before 6 a.m. today, bringing the season total there also to 36,000. Strange coincidences. At the Port Moeller Test Fishery on Friday, crews were blown off stations 10 and 12, but did fish stations 2 through 8. The catch picked up a bit at station 6. We'll have Saturday's data for you on Sunday. Dr. Scott Rayburn put out the first interpretation of the Port Moeller test fishery numbers on Friday evening. He says station catch indices have been highly variable and indicate dramatic shifts across the test fishing transect. He says what that means for inshore catch and escapement remains to be determined. Rayburn continues, saying so far the 2016 daily catch index seems to be tracking 2014 and 2015. Total run for 2014 was 2.3 days early and 30% lower than 2015, which was 4.2 days late. He says, as of now, odds are edging against the run being early and coming in at the preseason forecast. Other possibilities are that the run is on time and late or smaller than forecast, but says there's no evidence to distinguish among the outcomes at this point. Rayburn says the next couple of days' data should help a lot, provided the crews can fish through some stormy weather. Elsewhere, Area M fishermen delivered 92,000 sockeye and 100,000 pinks Friday, almost all out of the South Peninsula. Season total harvest there, 700,000 reds and 689,000 pinks. On the other side, Nelson Laguna's delivered 15,000 sockeye so far. The Chignik weir count is now 135,000 sockeye. Back in a moment.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible in part by Naknek Family Fisheries, 246 Fish, or on the web at naknekfish.com.
glad to have you tuned in to weekend coverage of the Bristol Bay Fishery here on KDLG's AM 670. I'm Dave Benninger in for Molly Dishner. She's got the weekends from here on out. Well, perhaps a little sooner than most were expecting, the Nooshigak District set netters will get their first opening of the season at 1 a.m. tonight. Last year, their opening was on a nice, hot, and sunny afternoon. KDLG News headed out for that. We found a lot of smiling faces, but no fish in the nets. This year, the weather will certainly be different, and maybe the action will be too. The Nooshigak District Drifters are now on notice for an opening as soon as Sunday noon, depending on the escapement and the sit net catch tonight. I spoke with Tim Sands this morning about the decision to open the Nooshigak District fishing.
You know, we wanted to hold out longer. The weather, I think, that we had the last couple of days has pushed more fish than we expected. And it's supposed to be windy again this evening and tomorrow. So I decided that we needed to get some nets in front of the fish and see what's there, see what kind of push we're looking at. It's not ideal. I hate starting in the middle of the night with the set netters. First opening of the year. Didn't feel like we could go on such short notice today and didn't want to wait till afternoon tomorrow.
This is suddenly feeling more like 2013 than either 14 or 15. What's going into your thinking as you kind of cautiously approach this first opener here?
Well, you know, we're over that 30,000 we wanted to start fishing at, and we had 5,000 counts this morning up the woods, so we could potentially be well over 50,000 by the end of the day today. And if we didn't fish tomorrow, we'd almost certainly be well over 100,000 by the end of the day tomorrow. So that's part of it. Kings on the Nooshigak are doing really well, way ahead of schedule. And again, with this weather coming, I expect that number to keep going up. We had a raw count of 50,000 yesterday, and in between midnight and 6 a.m., 30,000 up the Nooshigak. So there's definitely fish moving through, and we just want to take a bite of it and see what's there and how sustained it is.
In 2013, the Nooshigak District set netters were opened late in the day on June 21st. It was then to a stormy night. Winds exceeded 50 knots, and that storm kept blowing for days. The run showed up quick that year, something Sands says he's keeping in mind right now.
We did have a big start in 2013 as well, because we went from 7,000, the next day was 79,000, the next day was 204,000. And, of course, that's what we're guarding against here is, who knows, you know, we had 17,000 fish go up yesterday on the wood, and it could be 170,000 fish today. We just don't know. We have to be prepared for that. It's not looking like it, but certainly by tomorrow we could be in that situation. So we want to make sure that we have some net in front of the fish and have options. That's the whole thing about having the set net fishery open in the morning at 9 o'clock. Then we have the option of extending the set net fleet and putting the drift fleet in, or letting things shut down.
Tim Sands is the area management biologist for the west side of Bristol Bay. This is KDLG's AM 670.
Hey, Bob King here for the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Look, I know you're all busy, but chilling fish is so important, we're going to be reaching out to you. Before you start fishing, an RSDA crew will be fanning out across the boatyards to talk to fishermen. Chilled fish means a better price. We can help make it affordable. Want to have your boat surveyed? Call 439-3566. Our future is chilling. For the Bristol Bay RSDA, I'm Bob King. Good luck and good fishing.
After word came in at 8:45 this morning that there'd be a west side opener, I popped around the PAF yard in Dillingham to see if that put a little pep in anybody's step. Some boats were being put in the water, and crew were dragging nets here and there. Mike Sparks is keeping a close eye on the activity from Alaska Net and Supply.
A lot of people getting ready. A lot of people getting ready, and there's a bustle in the yard. So everybody smells fish.
What's the last minute stuff that everybody's coming in for?
They got to make sure they got their Coast Guard stuff on, hydraulic hoses, you know, all the related appurtenances that, you know, they need to make the fishing effort a success.
You think people are ready for this early start?
These guys are always ready. Yeah, they're fishing fools.
Aboard the Spy, Skipper Lowell Stambaugh says he's waiting to see what happens tonight as to whether or not he'll fish tomorrow if there is an opener.
Really depends on the conditions and how long it is, whether it's attractive. If it's too short of an opener, then it's kind of, you know, but because it's you go out there and you may not hit them, you need a little time to figure out where the fish might be. It looks like to me like there's going to be a few fish and there's some early fish potentially.
You going to go in the water today?
Yes. Yeah, we're going in the water today.
What do you think these set netters will get into tonight? Looks like it might be a bit of a blow.
Well, it depends on which side they're on. It's usually right in front of the blow that the fish move. They feel the pressure change and squirt up, start moving, in my view, just before the blow. There'll still be some in the blow, but then as it continues to blow, they tail out because they moved. Does that make sense?
Stambaugh says he's also still not sure about fishing in the Nooshigak District.
I'm disgruntled with the whole idea of the continuous ebb fishing. To me, it's less productive and more effort put into it. Burn a lot of fuel, and so I'm thinking strongly of not staying.
The Herbert Cecil just pulled in from Igigik, and Skipper Frank Cranborn heard the news of the set net opener tonight and possible drift opening tomorrow.
I think it's great because I won't be legal till Monday, and and it's going to be blowing like hell.
All right. Oh, yeah, no more free week, huh? Yeah,
that's right.
How's that sit?
It's fine with me. If it's blowing 50, I don't care. Go ahead. Go fishing.
How was your Igigik effort? How'd that look?
It was all right. It was fun little fishery. Not too much fish, but it was all right.
Okay. You going to stay over here this season?
I'm planning on it, yeah.
All right. Good luck.
As always, thanks for sharing. Look for KDLG News in the boatyards or call us at 842-5281 and let us know how things are going wherever you're listening to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Support comes from Crowley, fueling Alaska for more than 60 years. Crowley supports local fisheries onshore and off with a full range of commercial marine fuel products and Bristol Bay floater fueling services. More information at crowleyfuels.com.
Mike Frisero from Kodiak, the skipper of the Miss Gina, was recently elected by the BBRSDA Board of Directors to be the association's president. Earlier this week, I spoke to him by phone as he's making his way back to Bristol Bay from Kodiak, asking him about taking the helm of the association that represents all drift permit holders in the bay.
Well, first I'd like to say I'm honored to be trusted with it. I feel like, you know, the board service, it's important thinking about the RSDA that these are, you know, seven service positions that fishermen have taken to assist the RSDA in its efforts to, increase value in the fishery. And, you know, we have a real specific mission statement and a five-year strategic plan, and we're very structured, and so I don't feel it's about any one person. It's really about the team. And the person holding the gavel has the responsibility to, move the meetings ahead gracefully and to keep everybody professional and help get the work done. Really, it's about just directing traffic more than anything else. I think it's important to understand that everything we do is function of the seven people giving service back to the industry, and I think we all feel like we're in there trying to make a change for the better, basically with the 50-cent price structure from last year creates an industry disruption and kind of starts to erode the foundation that we're all working from, and I think that's got our full attention and has for the last 12 months.
As far as that top spot there as president of the board goes, there's been pretty rapid turnover since Robert Hyano, who was the kind of founding board president, founding member that took the spot there, resigned a year ago. It's gone from Fritz Johnson to Buck Gibbons to Abe Williams and now to you. Is there some instability within the board or the membership at large that's created problems, or is that, how do you read that?
Well, you know, each one of those changes had circumstances surrounding it, and some of them I'm not even aware of. I was added as an ex officio member at the June meeting, which means they wanted me on the board, but I wasn't elected, so I couldn't vote. And I've actually found that even as a non-voting member of the board, I was able to have some influence, and I think that's part of why I did spend the last year building relationships within the board and getting my feet under me, and I really enjoyed working with the underage direction, for sure. He was great and is great. And Peter Andrew, you know, we have exiting members, Peter Andrew, Matt Marinkovich, and renewing member, Lang Solberg. Really want to thank those guys, you know, Lang for joining back up, and his contribution is very valuable. I kind of consider Lang the future of the organization because of his age and his capabilities. And Peter represents, you know, watershed perspective. And I was actually, a funny story is that Peter was appointed to the seat that was vacated, and I was under consideration. So they let me in, appointed me to the board ex officio, and I always teased Peter that I was there to carry his luggage, okay? And we worked well together, and I think Peter trusts me. And part of the reason I ran for a seat was the seat I ran for was because Peter was not going to. He's quite a busy fellow, and I think he thought that I could do a good job, so he kind of trusted me to take that spot, and that means a lot to me.
Abe Williams was on in the he was the board chairman for about a year. It's tough to ignore some of the discontent from the members who felt that his ties to Pebble Mine were either inappropriate for the RSDA or a distraction or what have you. You have a different perspective. What's the signal behind the switch here?
Well, I think we're being sensitive to those concerns. I also think that if people are looking for drama or turmoil, they'll find more of it outside the organization now than there is inside. I think we're all working together quite well. And I think Mike, you know, gracefully changing presidents at the end of a term is something that we have, you know, the responsibility to install the person that we think is going to be able to accomplish as much as possible, and you know, I'll be leaning heavily on Abe's support, and Tony coming in as well, and all the board members, and we have to work as a group and as a team, and no one person can really direct that organization. It kind of moves slow because of that. It's got a hull speed, and have to respect the group, and I think that I'm looking forward to continuing to build relationships and try to keep everybody working together well.
At some point in the past year or so, there was a bit of outspokenness within the membership about whether the RSDA should focus more on marketing or more on conservation or both. And there was even an effort started to perhaps, you know, petition to end it. Where do you think all that sits now? What direction do you think the RSDA ought to be moving under at the moment, and are people happy with that?
Well, so it's hard to tell what the membership thinks. We get a lot of ill-informed comments, and it seems like most of the people that I've heard comments from that want to defund the organization have their information somewhat incorrect, and part of our efforts lately have been the outreach and the member meetings by Michael Jackson. And Michael Jackson is a good example of one member's influence in the organization, not even being a board member, but just paying attention. And he kept throwing proposals at us until he got one that stuck. And then we decided to let him execute that. And he did quite well. And I think that was, I attended the one in Kodiak, and it was really valuable. I think the members are, you know, they have every right to be concerned about what we're doing. I think we currently have a good balance in our projects. I think the branding and the marketing is a thing that not everybody understands the way that could benefit, and time will tell. But certainly not our only focus. I think we're fairly balanced between our marketing and branding project and our quality initiatives, as well as our sustainability right now is mostly shifted away from the pebble focus that has been a big part of the organization for a long time. And the organization has a very strong and clear position against pebble, but at this time we're focusing our sustainability efforts on continuing to fund science. science, and we include fish and game, power counting, and anything that takes to help manage the run effectively as part of our ways to sustain, you know, future runs. And also to provide fishing time where in cases there wouldn't be. I believe some of the funding that we've created and augmented to fish and game creates more fishing time, and in the absence of that information would mean less fishing time.
Well, let me ask you one more kind of along those lines, Mike. Everyone that fishes in Bristol Bay will be benefiting this year, especially from money that the RSDA is putting towards projects. Do you see a point where set netters and drifters will, you know, come together more? Will set netters join the RSDA? Should they form something similar and partner up with you? What, or, you know, is that just never going to happen? What do you think along the long-term lines of the two gear types here?
I think that's a great question. I think in the long run, our interests are parallel. You know, we want all the same things. We want more money for our fish. We want good fish runs in the future. We want management to be sufficiently funded. And I think we'd love to see the set netters join the funding. In the meantime, our projects are designed, and one of the tests we give them is they're supposed to benefit the whole group, the whole industry. We don't design anything for just the drifters or avoid helping set netters. I think our ice machine subsidies are open to set net, you know, processors that have set net operations as well. And I think one of those is probably being used as set net operations to augment the ice infrastructure.
Mike Fracero is newly tapped as president of the BBRSDA on his way back to Bristol Bay. Mike, thanks for making time on the trip, and we'll speak with you throughout the season, I'm sure.
Thank you very much.
Well, the weather's been pretty decent for a while now, up till today anyway. Earlier, we checked in with meteorologist Joe Wegman at the Weather Service office in Anchorage for an update.
We're seeing a pattern change, if you will. The last few days, we've had a nice ridge of high pressure keeping all the active weather far away from southwest Alaska. But now we're getting a new storm coming through the Bering right now. And so it looks like the storm right now is centered north of Dutch Harbor, out over the Bering. It's tracking towards the northeast, and by tomorrow morning, it will be moving into the Kuskokwim Bay and into towards the Kuskokwim Delta. So for what it looks like is the rain that is now pushing into Bristol Bay area will continue from now straight through much of the overnight. It will be heavy at times, especially with the stronger gusts and squalls. Winds right now are out of the southeast, and they're gusting pretty good to 25 to 35 miles per hour. And it looks like the winds will remain strong and gusty through much of the day tomorrow, though they'll be switching out of the west once that storm moves closer towards the mainland in the Kuskokwim Delta. Tomorrow, the winds will be flipping out of the west, and that is when we'll have the highest wave action in Bristol Bay. As with westerly winds, the storm has pretty much most of the bearing to work with in terms of getting the winds to help bring the wave heights up. So tomorrow morning looks to be the worst in terms of wave action, looking at 5 to 8 feet swell generally, with, of course, isolated higher swell, perhaps north of 10 feet. And then the heaviest precipitation for now will be pretty much from this afternoon straight through much of the overnight, and then it really should be diminishing tomorrow, though, as I said, the winds and the waves will take a bit longer to end. And everything should be ending by tomorrow night and into the day on Monday.
Joe Wegman is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service office in Anchorage. That's it for today's report. Good luck to the Westside SetNet fleet tonight, and be safe out there. We'd like to hear how it goes in the morning. I'm Dave Benninger. We'll have the latest for you again tomorrow. Good night.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by the Bristol Bay Fisheries Association, advocating for fishermen. More information at bristolbayfishermen.org.